reactor to the irritation for feeding purposes. We may have brought them with us from our Earth.
You just said they weren't like anything found there.
Because of its rapid breeding cycle, this kind of organism's prone to mutational changes. The differences that are apparent may have something to do with the Level 4 procedure.
How so?
Genes could have jumped from the engineered virus to these organisms by accident.
Couldn't the mutation have been produced by the nuke cost in this reality?
Maybe.
Is this dangerous?
At this point, it doesn't seem so. Though it's spreading rapidly, it appears to be a superficial infection. I'm going to treat everyone who's infected with an antifungal ointment and see what happens. That's all I can do without more specific information. I'll need to check the male troopers to see if it's showing up on them, too. And it wouldn't hurt to look at the Deathlanders.
How quickly can you test all the possibilities? Are the battlesuits involved? Could they be infested with these things? Can our armor be sterilized? Jan, this matter is a top priority. Our security may be at stake. I want it settled as quickly as possible.
That could present a major problem, I'm afraid. There's only one of me. I could use some help in this.
You can call on as many of the sisters as you need.
I need trained help. I understand you sent Dr. Huth to the mines.
So?
You could bring him back. Let him work with me.
I'm not so sure what use he might be.
I'm just a medical doctor, a diagnostician and a surgeon. Dr. Huth's a genius at research. He can help me nail down the organism's life cycle in short order. And once that's done, it's possible that the only solution to this problem will be biochemical. That's way outside my field of expertise. I'm concerned that if this thing continues to spread, it could become life-threatening. We can't afford to wait and find out. By then, it might be too late. If Huth's no use, we can always send him back to Ground Zero.
You can have Huth, then. But I do not want to be forced to order the sisters out of their battlesuits for any length of time. That is completely unacceptable. Do you understand?
Of course.
After Jan had applied ointment to her shoulder and back, Greta pulled on her t-shirt.
What's the status of the egg fertilization program? I want to get our embryos started as soon as possible.
We're ready to begin at any time. Once we have the male donor, we should be able to start implantation of host mothers within a week to 10 days. I take it Shadow Man hasn't changed his mind about being a sperm donor.
I haven't given him a chance to yet.
It's important that he isn't left out at Ground Zero too long. There could be irreparable damage to his reproductive cells, which would make them worthless to us.
I have no intention of ever bringing Shadow Man back here. He's nothing but trouble. He's going to die at Ground Zero.
But the sperm for our in vitro...
Shadow Man doesn't have to cooperate for us to get what we want from him.
Nightfall at Ground Zero found all the companions seated around a corner of the propane burner, taking turns cooking their dinners over the leaping rows of flames. The sizzling flesh and smoking droplets of fat filled the air with a gamey perfume. Christy was right, Ryan thought as he looked around. Hell had definitely changed for the better. The thieves who'd made their living by preying on the weak and sick were nowhere near the burner. They kept to the shadows along the edge of the ring of Klieg lights, leaving the honest slaves to complete their meager meals in peace. Even the most hardened robbers were going to go hungry this night. Those that attempted to steal food from their usual targets had been soundly beaten by their fellow prisoners and turned away. An unspoken mutual defense policy was in effect. The slaves would no longer permit individuals to be isolated and victimized. Dean was cooking his rat shish kebab, three skinned headless bodies threaded nose to butt, on a long piece of wire.
You know, these things may be kind of greasy, but the crispy parts are real good. I especially like the crunchy little feet.
Not a lot of food on these critters, but it sure sticks to your ribs.
One rat goes a long way.
I find it helps to try to imagine it as roast squab.
That takes one hell of an imagination.
Mildred stared dismally at the charred carcass on the end of her wire spit, a single bite missing from the backstrap. Mildred was having trouble choking down her meal. In fact, she couldn't even raise it to her lips.
Same sort of dark, oleaginous meat.
A metallic aftertaste is what gags me. Like I've swallowed a bullet.
A robust burgundy would certainly help to wash it all down.
If we had a robust burgundy, Doc, we could forget the fucking rat.
Jack didn't need to pretend the meal was anything but what it was. The muty albino would live wild and free his entire life, gladly accepting whatever the Deathlands had to give. For him, protein was protein, whether it flew, walked, swam, slithered, or crawled. He held a roast rat by the tail and chewed the head and shoulders noisily, using his back molars to pulverize both flesh and fine, fragile bones.
Hey, Doc, what happened to your new friend? The guy who helped us load up our sledge. I figured he was going to eat with us, but I haven't seen him since we came out of the mine.
That gentleman seems to have vanished, I'm afraid. And just when I was about to introduce him to Ryan and Christy. I'm almost certain he will be returning to us later.
If you're not going to eat any more of that rat, Mildred, let me give it to Gabhart. See if he can keep it down.
I'll come along with you. It's time to check on him again anyway.
Downwind of the heater's blue and yellow flames, Gabhart lay curled in a tight ball. He shivered violently, though he was sandwiched between insulating layers of rags they'd stripped from the dead thieves. Mildred gently touched his forehead.
Fever's a whole lot worse.
Is he conscious?
Colonel? Colonel, come on, wake up.
Is this the total collapse you were telling me about?
No, he hasn't sloughed off his lung or intestinal tissue yet. I'm afraid this is just the prelim.
Bad way to go, Millie.
No shit, John.
He could still come too.
Anything's possible. Though it's a whole lot more likely that he'll slip into the terminal stage without ever regaining consciousness. That'd be the kindest thing for him.
JB, tell me again what he said about the manacles. Tell me everything.
JB repeated the story he had already related, almost word for word.
So, it sounds like the cops won't cut off our hands and feet as long as we stay on the road.
That's how I read it.
And the road runs all the way back to camp, where they keep the cop that controls the cuffs. Well, if that's the case, then all that's keeping us here are the guys in the battle suits.
Pretty big all, if you ask me. It's the same all that's going to laser us into chunks even if we make the camp and break up the computer.
We gotta take this one small step at a time. Gabhart said nothing about a way to defeat the battle suits.
Never got to ask him. He conked out on me.
It's possible that there's no way to defeat them. At least not with what little we've got here at hand. I mean, all we have for weapons are pickaxes. If a centerfire slug can't get close to one of those suits, how the hell's an axe gonna do any damage?
We need to sleep on it. Maybe something will come to us by morning.
Maybe the Colonel will wake up and give us what we need before he croaks.
An hour before dawn, Ryan awakened to Christie's warm, soft lips brushing his. Her fingers tangled in his hair, and she pulled his mouth onto hers. From the way her hand lingered on the back of his neck, Ryan knew she wanted to give him more than just another kiss.
This hellhole's the wrong place for love.
There's no such thing. Let me show you.
Her fingers found and fondled him through his clothes. His grimace didn't deter her one bit.
What hellhole were you talking about?
Hellhole? Shit, we're in Tahiti, woman.
And despite his misgivings, her stroking produced the desired effect almost immediately.
See what I mean?
I don't think I can see a fucking thing.
Christy snuggled closer.
We may never get another chance, lover. And, well, I'd like my turn.
The tip of her tongue licked tightly over his lips and pushed gently between his teeth. They kissed deeply. Ryan was the one who pulled back. The taste of Christy's mouth and the feel of her tongue lashing against his seemed to steal the air from his very lungs. The intimate contact left him hungry for more. He pushed up to his knees and looked around. In the hard light of the Kleegs, no one else was stirring. The other companions were out of sight in their own dimples.
Hold on. Give me another second.
What do you want me to do?
Just wait. Okay, there it goes. Now, do it quiet.
Quiet as a mouse, lover.
Christy did try to keep it under wraps. Mm. He had to give her that. Mm. Biting her lower lip and digging her nails into her palms, she managed to stifle herself while he thrust into her over and over again. But in the end, she couldn't hold back. She arched up from the glass. Ryan covered her mouth with his hand and finished in a sprint. Afterward, they lay in each other's arms for a long while, finally falling into a light sleep. It seemed as if they'd only just drifted off when they were awakened. The gyroplane's landing lights speared down on them from the black sky as the aircraft descended onto a flat spot outside the ring of Klieg lights. Ryan and Christie